2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Tom, our next listener is saying that something's eating their impatience. They have a neighbor who thinks it could be quail. They want to know what they can do to revive them and keep the pests away.
Yeah, if it's quail, the only thing they can do is net over the tops of the impatience to try to keep the quail out through exclusion.
Go well.
Because those birds fly, they're not really, if they're Asian quail, they're not restricted as far as being able to destructively harvest them. But most cities have restrictions on firearms and things, and it's just not the best thing to be doing right now is out hunting Asian quail in the neighborhood with your BB gun. So I think the biggest thing, these birds have moved in over the last 10 years. And I think their biggest thing is that they're more of a nuisance sometimes. But if it is Asian quail eating them, there's really not much practically that can be done besides exclusion.
Right. And there's not much you can do to revive the impatience with this.
No.
Heat, is there?
No, there's not. You could try replanting, but if you know you have quail running around the yard and the impatience have turned into the pre-dinner salad, then, you know, all you can do is just try to put something around them and over them to keep the birds out.
Right. Next person is asking if it's too early to prune a mock orange if it hasn't bloomed.
I'm wondering why it hasn't bloomed. It should have bloomed about a month ago and been done 2 weeks ago. So you can do some light. I would use some renewal pruning on it. It's not too late. It's not ideal, but it's not too late. Do some renewal pruning on it and don't trim those branches hardly at all as the newer growth coming out, because that's next year's flowers.
Okay. What is the best time to prune boxwood bushes?
Through the summer, it's fine to give them a light haircut. Now, you can over prune them over the years, but you can prune them reasonably on any month that doesn't end in R. So September, October, November, December are the months that you do not prune woody plants. So you can prune through July into mid-August, and then I would call it.
All right. Let's go to Erin in Taylorsville. Good morning, Erin. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. I have these big Red River birches that are 21 years old. They're beautiful in our backyard, nice shady trees. And the last 3 years, you know, early June-ish, they start on the south tree, getting, like, the leaves start to turn brown, and then it seems to spread across them. So I went to IFA, and I talked to somebody over there, and they said and I took a picture of the leaves and stuff, and they said it looked like that it's like a fungus. And so I would spray a broad spectrum on them, which they said to do, like, every 3 weeks. But it seems to, like, come back every year. And I don't know what to do because they're such big, beautiful trees. I don't want to lose them. I don't know why they keep getting this fungus every year.
So it's not a fungus, unfortunately.
Okay.
What you're seeing is just summer heat scorch. And on the south side of the tree where they're exposed to sunlight, they're scorching. because the sun swings around to the south and then sets in the west. There may be something with the roots in that area that they're not getting sufficient water. So you'd need to check. And are you deep watering the trees every couple of weeks?
Well, they just have this, so there's like underneath the trees, and I sent some pictures to you on the Facebook messengers, but so there's like, you know, ivy and stuff, all that will below it. And so they do have sprinklers that come on. So they do get, you know, in a normal year, they would have got three times a week, you know, for 20 minutes is what we would water back there. But so I never actually go out and do it myself where I deep water them, but I just put the sprinklers on them.
Well, what I would do is go out, because these river birch are native to the east, especially the southeast, where they have higher humidity, and they're native along rivers and lakes and streams where they have permanent access to water. And so you bring them out to the desert and plant them, and then they struggle. So what I would recommend doing is deep watering them every couple of weeks, maybe just get some drip hose and wind it under the canopy, see if that helps. You don't want to overwater them, but you want to make sure that they're getting sufficient water. And even in the drought, the state has come out and said, you know, it is fine to water your trees. So, you know, you want to keep that up. Now, on the reason I know this isn't a fungus is because it's showing up just on the south side of the trees annually. And even though the leaves are scorching, it's environmental, because it would spread throughout the tree if it was a fungus. And because you've been spraying consistently with a fungicide, that also would have diminished or eliminated a fungus. And so at this point, quit spraying, deep water your trees, and just know that they are trees native to riparian areas with higher humidity, and we just do our best here in Utah them.
It does seem to spread, but it always starts every year on the south.
Yeah, and so it's summer heat scorch.
Okay.
And it's really normal.
I know that the summer has been really hot, but like, because it was really good for like 17 years or something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just been like the last 3 years or so that it's been like that.
The other thing you run into is when trees reach a certain point, 30, 40, 50 feet tall, then it becomes harder and harder to uptake water. So even though there might be sufficient water in the soil, we are so dry with humidity that the tree can't take it up fast enough, and the leaves scorch, and it starts on the south side because that's the hottest portion of the tree.
Okay. All right. And so when you say to like put a drip and like deep water it, you said, sorry, a few times a week?
Even a hose and sprinkler. You know, just under the canopy, running it for 45 minutes at a time under the canopy every couple of weeks would be sufficient.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're welcome.
All right, Erin. Thanks for your call today.
Mm-hmm.
Next
Bye-bye.
Listener is wondering, Ton, whether ground cover and flower beds, they want to know if it actually holds in the moisture in the soil, benefiting the plants, or does it use up the moisture and compete against those plants?
It does both. The ground cover shades the ground and keep soil moisture in, but it's also using some of it. So I think you get, for most ground covers, a net positive benefit as far as shading the soil, but they are using some of it. And so if you just had a straight, you know, 2 to 3 inches of bark mulch over the top, that would use even less water. But to where the soil is shaded, it's cooler, and it is conserving some water in general.
All right, let's take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says that they have some bugs that are causing some problems for them. They're on their fence and on the ground. They're black with reddish orange on their wings, and they get about a quarter inch long, and they're wondering how to eliminate them.
If they are, they're a true bug, actually. So in the insect world, we call them all bugs, but there's a group called the true bugs, and this is one. They could be immature box elder bugs or immature elm seed bug. They look fairly similar. But the take home on all of it is that you're never really going to get rid of them. So they have a tendency to congregate in areas, and you can use an insecticidal soap to try to kill the population that's there. It doesn't mean more won't come in, but because they're highly mobile, if they're in the neighborhood, they may keep congregating to where there's protection or food or warmth, because, or even coolness, depending on the season. So if you're trying to control them, you almost, in the, sometimes the cure's worse, but like in box elder bugs, you get rid of the box elder trees, or with elms, you get rid of the Siberian elms and you've lost your shade. And so insecticidal soaps do a really good job if you need to step it up to something like Saigon or Tempo. I don't usually recommend that, but there are situations where there's just thousands of them. They get into your home and things, besides sealing up the foundation, sealing up the windows and the doors and everything like that. You may be justified using something like Tempo or Saigon to knock them back once or twice to try to get the population down.
All right, another insect question. Best way to get rid of ants, they spray, but they just come back.
They need to get after the queen, and so the Raid products and Black Flag and things, those are fine, but they generally don't knock out the entire colony unless you keep after them. So one thing I like to do is get bait, and it's sometimes a little hard this time of year because there are several food sources available to the ants outdoors, but I just put bait around the nest, and it's, you know, usually you can find stations that are pet resistant and warn the kids not to play with them, but these baits have slow acting insecticide in them, and what happens is they'll go in and feed and bring it back to the queen and feed it to the queen, and within a couple of weeks, because the queen's gone, the colony disappears.
All right, Kevin is standing by in Riverton. Good morning, Kevin. What is your question?
Good morning. We bought a home in Riverton and moved in at the end of the summer last year, and there were some beautiful groups of calla lilies. My wife was looking forward to them coming back this year, and as we as spring got on, they weren't growing. As I started to dig and look at the bulbs, they were infested with worms all through the bulb as I would break it open. So we had to throw away almost all of the calla lilies. The question is, with all those worms there, and I think there's plenty in the ground now, they were like white larvae in the bulb, but just any one bulb had tons of them in it. Do I need to do anything to prep the ground or before I plant again?
Well, one thing to consider is that those bulbs may have died over the winter, and those worms were in there just eating them because they were dead. So that is a possibility, and it could be that, because there's not really a lot of callas that people overwinter here. There's a few semi-hardy cultivars and species out there, but it could be that they didn't overwinter well, and these worms were just basically composting them back into the soil. So I don't really know also that there's much you can do. You know, you could try using like a 7-granule or something around them to see if that helps, but that whatever is in the granule you put around or powder is most likely going to break down before even the end of fall if you try to put more in.
Okay. So what I would recommend, do I need to worry about all the worms in there?
No, because they are either just general decomposers, and because the callas are dead, they will also diminish. They, you know, and hopefully move on. One thing you could try doing is planting the callas in a different area of the yard, and then maybe putting 2 inches of compost or mulch over the top of them. And that will help protect them in the winter, and then pull that mulch away in the spring and see if you have better success. But when you do this, you've got to make sure that the particular ones you buy are the cold hardy ones that will overwinter in our soil.
Okay. Otherwise, I should pull the bulbs up in the fall.
Yeah, pull them up in the fall and then store them at around 50 or 55 degrees in some just barely moist sawdust or potting soil.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. We have just 2 minutes before the top of the hour here, Ton. Let's go to Larry and Roy and see if we can answer his question. Good morning, Larry. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. I've got two questions on my walnut tree, so I don't know if we'll make it all the time. First is my the walnut tree that I have, I had it professionally topped and thinned out 2 years ago. But this year, everything was fine, but it started to leaf out, and then the whole top 4 feet of the canopy all the way around the tree has died, and I'm not sure what happened.
It's Wasatch Front wide and into Heber and Cache Valley. We went late last October from in the 50s down to 5 degrees, and the walnut trees were not dormant, and it really damaged them. And so we're seeing it all over the place. There's a disease called thousand cankers. We're finding out there sporadically too, but primarily it was that drop from 50 to 5 degrees that either killed or severely damaged the branches.
Okay, that would make sense. I remember that the leaves were still on the tree and everything died, and they never dropped all winter.
Yeah, so we may need to go to break pretty soon. If we do, we'll hold you through for your next question. But what is your next question?
My next one is my tree and the neighbors next door supposedly were planted at the same time, same tree, but they get like big giant walnuts, and I get little almost pea-sized walnuts out of mine. And I was wondering if they're supposedly the same tree, what happened?
Well, were they seed-grown trees?
No, they were both planted from stock. I mean, but
there could be a mistake.
Twice as big as mine, and
there's all sorts of things that could happen, but my guess is that the top either died out and they didn't know and the rootstock took over, or it just was a different tree altogether and you have a rootstock tree that wasn't intended for nut production.
All right, we're going to have to go to break. Thank you for your call. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.